Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We have all experienced a shift in our day-to-day interactions. For those of us able to work from home, in the last few months, your romantic partner may have become more like your coworker. You're together all day, every day, with no commutes or offices to separate your life. And for many, there's been no opportunity to see friends or other family. Or maybe the work version of the love of your life isn't that appealing. And if you have kids at home right now, perhaps the romance has taken a backseat and scheduling date nights with your spouse or partner may not feel like a priority or even realistic. So let's talk about it in today's Free Skate. Free Skate is when we invite everyone onto the All of It rink to talk about a subject. Now, you don't need to be an expert, just have an opinion. All we ask is that you practice the acronym THINK. That is your comment true, honest, interesting or important, necessary or kind. So we want to hear from you. What are you doing to keep your relationship going right now? What have you found that helps you connect to your person? However you want to interpret the word connect. If you have kids, how do you get a date night? How does working from home complicate things? Okay, Team All of It, call us 646-435-7280. That number is 646-435-7280. You can also tweet to us at All of It WNYC. There's a tweet up there about that, so you can respond to it. Or if you just want to remain anonymous, you can send us a private message via Instagram at All of It WNYC. Joining me now to discuss her reporting on relationships during the time of COVID is Jessica Gross, lead parenting editor for The New York Times. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So you write about something a lot of couples are feeling right now, which might seem a little counterintuitive, the idea of missing your partner, even though you're with that person 24/7. What does that look like, missing someone you see all the time?
So the idea for writing a piece about this came a couple weeks ago when I was sitting in bed with my husband, whose face I had seen about 1,000 times that day. and I just felt a complete lack of actual connection with him. You know, we were like ships passing in the night, even more so than we were in the pre-pandemic times when we both work and we have two small kids. And so a lot of our discussions were about logistics and we were always rushing to and fro, but there was less of this sort of existential dread and there was more separation. So if we needed a date night, if we were feeling disconnected and wanted to do something special, we could make that happen for ourselves. But obviously in pandemic times, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. And so I was really feeling like we hadn't, and at the end of the day, this is the other really important part, is we were so tired that even if we did want to connect to each other and have a real conversation, we both just wanted to pass out. You know, every minute was just full to bursting with either work or childcare. Even though we moved in with my parents to get help with the childcare, grandparent childcare is its own thing that requires a lot of additional help. So I decided to call up a bunch of experts to ask them for advice about how to really feel more like we could connect with each other, even when all of the sort of typical ways that couples might connect with each other are not available.
As you talk to some
As you talk to some of your experts,
let's talk about just like what is the impact on a relationship if you don't find that time to connect, if you can't figure a way to come back around to plugging into each other?
I mean, I think you can really feel lonely. You can feel lonely. You can feel like you're drifting apart from each other. So it's not necessarily about physical proximity. It is about having that emotional connection and being able to support that emotional connection.
So you spoke with Jancy Dunn, the author of How Not to Hate Your Husband After Kids. And anybody who knows Jancy knows she's hilarious. But she also is a very good reporter and sort of a pointed. She is very good at processing information. And one of the things she suggested is that it's important to, and this is a quote, cultivate excitement. So tell me what that would look like in normal times. And then how do we translate that to now?
So Jancy, who truly is the best, mentioned an experiment to me where a group of 50 couples was encouraged to participate in exciting activities for 90 minutes a week for 4 weeks. And then a control group had no intervention. And the couples who had done those exciting activities together reported higher levels of relationship satisfaction. So that could be, you know, doing hang gliding together, or sort of any sort of outside the box thing that you're not normally doing. Obviously, that is not available in pandemic times. So, you know, I think it's just doing something that either makes you excited about a future event. So Sinead Smith, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, told me about a couple that she was counseling who got really excited about creating a vision board for a trip they might take to India someday. They obviously intellectually know that's not happening anytime soon, but it gave them this real thing to bond over, something to learn about, something to dream about, and that really was helpful. In my own life, my husband and I watched live comedy over Zoom. And we really like going to comedy shows in normal times, and we weren't really sure how stand-up using Zoom would work out, but it was a bizarre and antic and funny and strange experience. Like, it's a totally new medium almost. So that was really great for us, and we laughed really hard, and it was an event to discuss afterwards.
Let's go to Axel on line one from Queens. Hi, Axel. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. What's going on with you?
At this very moment, I'm working. I work for UPS. I'm in a truck, a hot, steamy truck, and I'm taking my packages out to go deliver them.
Okay, so when you're thinking about things that you can do for the person in your life in this crazy time, what are you thinking?
Well, gladly try to find a medium. That's what I'm learning. Like, I know that there's certain things that I don't know. Women necessarily don't know certain things about men, but it's just a matter of just listening. And listen, I would say that's harder for men to do than women. But I'm learning. I'm young. I find that sometimes it's just a matter of taking time and just doing little things, small things to make someone feel happy. And those little things add up.
Axel, and thank you so much. I love that, like, you literally are not stopping working while you're talking to us. You're a good man.
Yeah.
I can hear the truck. I can hear the scanner. Axel,
oh, that's terrible.
No, it's good. You're at work. Go back to work and drink water because it's hot out there. Thanks for calling in. Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are you doing to keep your relationship going right now? What have you found that helps you connect to your person? If you have kids, how are you finding time for a date night? How does working from home complicate things? Give us a call at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at @allofitwnyc, or send us a private message via Instagram if you want to remain anonymous. My guest is Jessica Gross, parenting editor at the New York Times. So one of your colleagues wrote a piece, and we're going to talk about sex guys. So if the little ones are in the room, maybe you scoot him out of the room. We're prepared to answer some questions later at dinner. The New York Times Parenting ran a piece earlier this month that was titled, "Is Sex Dead for Parents?" by Alyssa Shalasky, I think that's how you say it. And she wrote in it, quote, "I love my partner without reservation, and I'm extremely attracted to him. I'm not even a little bit mad at him. And yet there isn't a paycheck protection program loan big enough to replenish my libido at the moment." She's got two little kids. So what is it about this current situation that's causing people to maybe lose interest?
I think it's not just sort of the lack of time. I think it's this ambient dread that is really, not to sound too dramatic, a little bit soul deadening. So whether it's you're worried about your health, you're worried about your loved one's health, maybe you've experienced a loved one dying, there's the grief that just sort of haunts you. One of the psychologists that I talked to for my piece described it as ambiguous loss. So this ambiguous loss is sort of just following you around, plus an additional anxiety that I think a lot of folks are feeling about, possible job loss, their kids' schooling in the fall being just the hottest mess around. I think all of that just has such a deadening effect on libido and sort of just good feeling. So that's what we're really observing a lot of people going through right now.
Yeah, Esther Perel, the couples therapist, has a book out called Mating in Captivity. And the basic idea is that love demands closeness, but desire needs space to thrive. We don't have a lot of space right now. So I'm wondering what about the closed quarters aspect of this is problematic?
Oh, man, everything. So my old colleague David Plotz wrote a piece at Slate over 10 years ago about this experiment that he did with his then wife, where they connected, they were 15 feet, no more than 15 feet apart from each other all day. And it was meant to be just like a goof, but it's sort of like what we're all living now. And what he said was they didn't really have anything to talk about at the end of the day because they had lived the same experience. And so it's not even just like absence makes the heart grow fonder, someone physically being apart from you, you get to miss them. I think it's that what are you even going to say to each other to feel connected when you have like lived in the same space and lived the same day? I mean, certainly that's not the case for many essential workers who are still, you know, like the UPS driver we just spoke to, still on about, still living there, you know, still having some semblance of what life was like before. But I think that there's just hard to get passionate when everything is so mundane.
Michelle wrote to us on Twitter, "My husband and I work together on our company at Untapped New York and have a toddler. We stayed sane by attempting all new things. We bought a kayak. We went to a drive-in movie. We stayed a week in an area in New York State we'd never been to before. Some great memories in hard times." Great suggestions, Michelle. Thanks for tweeting to us. Let's go to line two and Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's going on in your house?
Well, in Long Island, we have a little more space than some people in the city, I'm sure. My wife and I ended up finding ourselves just watching Netflix and kind of zoning out at the end of the day and really not talking a lot. So we started making a point to do some of those, you know, online workout videos together, or even just kind of walking around the neighborhood, pretending we were half shopping again or just kind of recapping the day.
So what was it about unplugging from the computer that you think was advantageous for you and your wife, Nick?
I think it just gave us kind of purposeful conversation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I said, walking around or doing something together kind of brought something fresh into the day other than just talking about work or complaining about work, as it often ends up being.
Nick, thanks for calling in. Let's go to line four. Oren is calling us from Manhattan. Hi, Oren. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. So what's going on in your household?
Well, we have the opposite of most quarantine households, which is that we are very far apart. I'm here in Manhattan, and my wife got stuck in Dubai. She was working over there, mm-hmm. and when the pandemic hit, she lost her job, and for a number of reasons, including, you know, no flights, had to stay over there. So we have been staying close in our relationship by just doing a whole lot of things together on FaceTime and just spending a lot of time, you know, keeping each other company on the phone that way.
Oren, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. I love it. Thank you so much. Our guest is Jessica Gross. She's lead parenting editor at the New York Times. We're talking about relationships and calls. Jessica, this is interesting. Our callers have been male. Did you notice?
I love it. They want to talk.
I think that's really interesting. I'm not sure why it's interesting just yet, but maybe we'll figure that out along the way. So one of the things that, since you're the lead parenting editor, one thing a friend noticed is the kids are always around and they're always awake. Are there ways to find alone time with kids just so close all the time, especially in New York and the areas where there may not be so much room?
Yeah. It's tough. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the age of your kids. You know, I think my kids are 4 and 7 and they do not respect a closed door. So like even trying to like make our bedroom a zone of privacy and love is not ideal. So, I mean, I think one, trying to enforce bedtime at some sort of reasonable hour, it has definitely gone off the rails somewhat for us since school ended, but our kids are generally asleep by 8:30, pushing it to 9, but that still gives us a couple hours. And then, you know, trying to make a special occasion over, and I know this sounds really cheesy, but it's like saving a movie that you've always wanted to see, and it doesn't even have to be a new movie, but like making the popcorn, sitting together, putting your phones away, just like trying to make things that were previously, you know, just an everyday thing, have sort of a special feeling to them. Another thing to do is like maybe after the kids are asleep, cook a special meal together. Mm. Like it's not, none of it is going to be ideal or like it was before, but it's about sort of making new rituals that you can do together. And, you know, I think a lot of folks are feeling a little bit more comfortable having a relative or a trusted babysitter watch their kids for a little bit. And so, you know, we have, you know, with my parents watching the kids, gone out to dinner and then had a picnic together outside. And that was amazing. And we were so much more grateful for it than mm-hmm. we were in the pre-pandemic times when it was so much more common for us to do. So those are all sort of small suggestions.
Yeah, I'm all about take the small wins. Just take the small wins and roll around in them. My guest is
exactly.
Jessica Gross. She is the lead parenting editor for the New York Times. Listeners, we want to hear from you. What are you doing to help keep your relationship going right now? What have you found that helps you connect to your person? If you have kids, did you get a date night in? How'd you do it? Call us at 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at @allofitwnyc, or you can send us an anonymous message at Instagram at @allofitwnyc. Let's see. I have a couple here coming up. From Instagram, my husband and I have been doing home improvements together, ripping out old carpets, painting. It's the first time we've ever done it, and it's hard, but it's been so much fun doing it with him. That's a great suggestion. Another Instagram comment, my partner and I practice yoga. That's hilarious. You put practice in quotes. Practice yoga every day. It's been a wonderful way for us to both manage stress and connect to each other. The kids know it's our special time and don't bother us. It's become addictive and we both look forward to it every day. Let's go to line one and Hartley. Hartley, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Yeah. So before we entered the pandemic, my girlfriend and I had been, we were not living together, but we had started ring shopping. I was getting ready to propose to her, and then all of this happened, and I went about 2 months without physically seeing her, which was pretty tough. We started talking on the phone a lot more, and video chatting. We tried a video chat date, but it became pretty hard to, it was all right. I think she was, yeah. It was kind of awkward a little bit. We both got kind of dressed up and got on Zoom and hung out. But at that point it was much needed. So that was helpful.
I love that you dressed up for each other. That's one of those like small things you can do for someone to show that you care and you're thinking about them. Good luck to you guys, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go to line 6 and Nathaniel. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm doing great. So since the pandemic started, you know, we were inside trying to figure out what to do. But the thing about it is I am an essential worker. Everybody's essential, by the way, since I'm on the air, but yes. I was allowed to continue working. What I did when I got home, I made sure and tried to share my story with everyone. When we had dinner together, I shared my story with everyone. You know, at times, of course, you could see the faces of the kids. They're like, well, do we have to listen to this? But, you know, I made it a point. I said, you know what? I'm the person going out, so I get to be on my sandbox, and I'm telling everybody my story, right? So we, as time progressed and the things, you know, the stringent whatever parameters of the COVID thing got released, we started doing parking lot church. So that was an out for the family, as well as my wife and us. And specifically for my wife and myself, every now and then, we take a drive in the neighborhood, you know, just to come out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, and actually kind of familiarize yourself, see the neighbors, you know, see who's doing home improvements, you know, stealing ideas, you know.
I love it.
Those are little things that I've been doing.
I love it. It's so creative and so simple, but so creative. Thank you so much for calling. Here's one, Jessica, I think you'll like. I find this comment hilarious. As a stay-at-home parent, I kick my husband out of the house to give me alone time and sleep. Then we like each other again. I think that's classic.
I love it.
I think that one's classic. So, Jessica, I know that you have to go. Final word of wisdom for people?
Something I keep saying to my husband, manage your expectations. Like, everything seems better when we just have low expectations of anything. And I think just remembering that it's not going to be like how it was for the foreseeable future, and that there are always new things to discover about ourselves, about our relationships. And that's what I'd leave you with.
Jessica Gross is lead parenting editor for the New York Times. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And callers, thanks for calling.